Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. I'm Lon Woodbury, an independent education consultant located in North Idaho. Here's where we talk with people helping struggling teens and young adults. Now, all the interviews in this series can be found at my website, strugglingteens.com. Neil Brown is my guest today. Good morning, Neil. Good to have you here.
Good morning, Lon. Thanks. Nice to be here.
Well, Neil is a family therapist and author of a book that is in pre-sales right now. It'll be out October 1st. It's called Finding the Parent-Teen Control Battle. So let's talk about the ideas behind that. What do you have in mind when you talk about the parent-teen control battle? Don't all parents and teens have a control battle?
Well, that's an excellent question, but first I want to correct something. It is ending the parent-teen control battle. They can find it real easy in their relationship, but it's the ending of it that the book is about. And, all parents and teens have, or most, I would say, have at least a little bit of a struggle going on because, you know, adolescence is a time of individuation, pulling away, and preparing for young adulthood. So there always are points of negotiation and renegotiation in the relationship that, by design, has a little bit of a struggle in it. But that's not what a control battle is.
Yeah, well, I presume that's been going on all throughout history, too.
Absolutely, yeah. You can see it in the animal kingdom as well as in the human kingdom, exactly.
So, yeah. I guess the question is, how do you end it, or what's the problem that you need to end? Or just talk a little bit more about that.
Okay, well, a control battle is when those little points of renegotiation become chronic negative interactional patterns. So that's the thing about families. Families have patterns of interaction. And if those patterns of interaction are healthy for the most part, then, you know, that's the family culture, and kids and parents have a way of working things out, and not always smooth, not always easy, but the job gets done. Mm-hmm. A control battle is when those patterns of interaction become chronically negative. So the more a parent tries to get a kid to do or not do a certain behavior, the more the kid resists that effort. At some point, the kid has a very negative relationship with their parent, and the parent has a very negative relationship with the kid, and that becomes the definition of their relationship. Once that is in place, it can be then that becomes the bigger issue than any other issue. So, for instance, let's just say...
It sounds like you've thrown out about half, at least half of the How to Parent books on the shelves right now.
Thrown them out? Well, no, I think those parent books are, they've got good advice, and they've got some... and I think, you know, if you're looking for good advice, they've got it. But the reason, and you can read one of those books, but if you're in a control battle, you might just say, well, that didn't work with my kid. That doesn't work for us. I tried that, but that didn't work. And so what's happening when that's the case is those parents and kids are in a control battle, and they need to understand what the control battle is and work to defeat the control battle. In my book, Lon, what I do to help parents and kids, for that matter, understand what they're dealing with is I create a personification of the control battle, and I call it the beast. And what I try to do is help families, and I do this in my practice as well as in my book, is help parents and kids defeat the beast, because that is what's undermining adolescent development and adolescent success and healthy parent-child relationships.
So in your practice, you work with the kid also as well as the parents, because it takes both sides to end the that parent-control battle?
Yeah, I mean, I think my assumption, Lon, is that kids want to do well. They want to be successful, and they want to be happy, and they want to be esteemed. And parents want their kids to be happy, successful, and esteemed. I mean, they really have the same goals. And so if I can help create an alliance between the kids and the parents to defeat the control battle, well, then I can begin to create a shift in that negative dynamic.
So you personify the control battle almost like it's an entity in itself, and then help them work against that, and that's the enemy? Is that sort of the way you approach it?
That's exactly how I approach it. And for me, that's what pops up for me when I'm watching families interact. I'll watch and I'll listen, I'll probe, and at some point I'll start to see in that relationship pattern in how a kid communicates with their parent, how a parent communicates with the kid, I will begin to see that control battle emerge and be present in the room. And I'll see how they can't accomplish anything. They can't solve a problem. They can't make an agreement. They can't make a decision because the control battle will take what is a well-intentioned statement on the part of a parent or even on the part of a teen, and it will turn it into something negative.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was sort of my comment about the how-to books, is very often they're saying how to get your kid to do what you want them to, and that's the basis for control battle.
Exactly. It's exactly the basis of a control battle. Being other person-focused is one of the three contributors to control battles that I outline in my book, and that's a perfect example of it. Trying to get your kid to do something is an effort in futility and an exercise in how to build a control battle. The only person who's going to get a kid to do something is a kid. And kids, for the most part, want to do things that are healthy for them, and for the most part, need to do things that are healthy for them. And so when parents are saying, hey, I want you to clean up your room, they're not saying, I want you to go jump off a cliff. They're saying, I want you to do something that's a reasonable and healthy and self-valuing thing to do. And in fact, when a kid cleans up his room and the room is organized and looking clean, they feel better. Mm-hmm. They function better and they feel better. So a parent's offering that advice, it's reasonable and good advice. But now the question is, how can a parent support a kid in having a clean room or create a standard and an expectation and a plan for cleaning a room? But ultimately, if and when a kid is going to clean his room, irrespective of with help or otherwise, it's going to be when they choose to do it. So parents don't control that. Parents mm-hmm. control the standards, and they control the doorway to the privileges, which is part of the part of how we end a control battle.
Could you give from your practice a couple case studies or a couple of examples of a situation that you were faced with and how you helped the family work it out? Any examples come to mind?
Well, you know, there's examples from virtually every kind of symptom that you mm-hmm. could imagine, whether it's depression and self-cutting, to substance abuse, to a kid with a certain amount of ADHD who's just struggling with getting their homework done. Any one of those cases, the more serious the symptoms, the more I'll guarantee you there's going to be a control battle in place. Mm-hmm. So, I could invent a story on any one of those because I've seen so many dozens from each of those categories.
Well, let's talk about ADHD because so many people have that or executive functioning problems. And go from that. A hypothetical would be fine. So I like to think in concrete terms and examples. And that okay. I think that illuminates a lot of the on the practical side of what you're talking about.
Okay. So let's just say we've got a kid who is essentially a good kid. But he has a habit of impulsivity. And if he has the desire to do something, he does it very impulsively, like eat something out of the refrigerator that he shouldn't be eating or drinking, maybe doing something with his friends that he shouldn't be doing, say smoking marijuana, or let's say it's always a struggle to get him to do his homework. So the parents bring him down to the doctor. And the doctor says, well, let's get him evaluated for ADHD. And sure enough, he comes up with moderate ADHD, with moderate levels of impulse control problems and focus mm-hmm. problems. So, okay, well, that explains it. So the parent goes, well, now what do I do? And they say, well, he's got this issue. So now the parent runs around really trying hard to support him. They try really hard to excuse him. And now they don't know whether to support, excuse, set limits, give punishments. All they know is they're driving themselves crazy and their kid crazy by over-regulating, over-intervening, and struggling in relationship with their kid. Mm-hmm. And so let's just say one of those behaviors of the kid winds him in the probation officer's office after mild adjudication. And the probation officer says, well, you better get some counseling. And they show up to my office, and parents say, well, you know, when he did this, you know, when he brought that marijuana to school, then he got arrested, and I don't know what to do with my kid. I'm on him all the time. I'm trying to get him to do his homework. I'm trying to get him to do this. I'm trying to get him to clean his room, trying not to mess up, trying to get him to behave himself, and nothing's working. And so I take a look, and sure enough, what I find out is the more the parent tries, the more the kid resists. The more the kid resists, the more the parent tries. And the parent tried with all good intentions. After all, my kid has a disorder, and I have to respect that disorder, so I'm just going to have to really stay on him and really try. So the parent is really pushing, and the kid, quite predictably, is really resisting. So when I started talking about the beast, and I realized that this is a kid who's quite capable, matter of fact, is probably gifted, is very talented, very creative, actually is very good-hearted, and began to see, look, you guys, your kid is, irrespective of whether he has ADHD or not, is a fabulous kid. He's very, very talented, and we're working too hard, and he's not working hard enough. And if he is working hard, it's in the wrong direction. So here's what I want you guys to start thinking about. And then I introduced our control battle, and I gave the kid permission. I said, listen, you don't have to do any of that stuff. On the other hand, you don't have to have any privileges. You don't have to have access to your computer. You don't have to have access to your friends. You don't have to be on social media. You don't have to have a driving permit. You don't have to have any of that stuff. So it's fine with me and fine with your parents. It should be fine with your parents if you don't do a darn thing right and don't do a bit of your homework. But just understand that you developing up to your potential is the ticket of admission to your privileges. And I began to get his parents to understand that he's perfectly capable of reaching those high levels. And if he needs help because of his ADHD, that's fine. We'll resource that. But letting him off the hook and getting the parents over-involved in his responsibilities was only a ticket to feeding the beast.
They shouldn't own the problem. It's a kid's problem, and they should help rather than own it, right?
That's a great way to put it, Lon, exactly. They need to own their own problem of parenting and let the kid own the problem of earning his privileges and managing his responsibilities.
Okay, well, we've about run out of time, but I'd like to spend about a minute telling about, maybe the basis thesis of the book, how we can get a hold of it. If somebody wanted to talk to you directly, how they can get a hold of you.
Okay, well, my website, and I blog on a weekly basis. So if they went to neildbrown.com, they would have access to all my weekly blogs. They'll have access to my podcasts. And I'd love to have them if they want to contact me for some remote counseling or parent coaching. That would be just fine. All they have to do is shoot me an email, and that can come right out of my website. And I would... You know, I'd love to have contact with them if they've got any questions or needs. I want to comment on my blogs. I certainly welcome it. Or if they've got a blog topic that they'd like to hear about, I'd love to hear about it. So I really appreciate your having me on and giving me a chance to talk about how parents and teens can defeat the beast. And they can buy my book. They can buy it on pre-sale for any of their local or their favorite online distributors, whether it's Barnes & Noble or booksellers or Amazon. It's there and ready to purchase. It'll be delivered probably mid to late September. And I look forward to being whatever resource I can be to parents struggling with their teens.
Well, fantastic. Well, thank you very much, Neil. This is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report. Been talking with Neil Brown, a family therapist and an author of the book called Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle. Thanks. You have a good day, Neil.
Thanks, Lon.